This episode is brought to you in part by buymeacoffee.com. We'll hear more from them later on the show. Hello there. My name is Doc Conrad, and this is my little preamble to the podcast. First of all, I want to say thank you once again to all the lovely listeners out there. I really do appreciate it. I also want to give a huge thank you to the many artists who have helped work on this podcast. At Meloscav, at M-E-L-O-S-C-A-V, created the font for the icon for this podcast, and at Shy Starfall, S-H-Y-S-T-A-R-F-A-L-L, created the character art for the icon for this podcast. I also want to give a huge thank you to the character artist behind all of the episodes. That would be at Doida Flower, at D-O-I, D-U-H-F-L-O-W-E-R. And finally, I want to give a huge thank you to my promotional artist, Andromeda_Snow on Twitter, at Andromeda_SNOW. If you'd like to go ahead and keep up with the show, follow the show on Twitter at @ComsOpenPodcast. For this episode, I interviewed the absolutely wonderful Young Bird. He's an amazing artist I've followed for a while from the land down under, and if you want to go ahead and hear more from him and look at his wonderful artwork and get to know his wonderful cast of characters, you can follow him at Youngbird. But there's a little bit of a catch with that. It's YVNGBIRD on Twitter and at Youngbird_ on Instagram. YUNGBIRD_ on Instagram. And you can follow him on Facebook as well at Youngbird, YUNGBIRD. I hope you guys are going to enjoy this episode because I did a lot. So, either way, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Commissions Open, an interview podcast all about art in the digital age. Here you can hear the processes, stories, and lives of talented artists, voice actors, video creators, editors, musicians, and many other talented creators in the era of online work. I am your host, Doc Conrad, and today I have the wonderful Young Bird. Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, it's good to be here. I'm doing fine, just vibing on this wonderful Monday night. I had to check that because all the days blend together.
I know how that is. It's awful, and especially for me, because it's a Monday morning for me. You live all the way in Australia, right? In Perth?
Yes, I live in Perth, Western Australia. It is currently 9 p.m. for me.
And speaking of, I really do appreciate you doing this interview with me so late. The main thing I want to go ahead and talk about with you is I love your art style and I love your characters, and I have been a fan of them for quite a while. You're now known as Young Bird, but I remember when you were known as Hummingbird. And I don't know how long ago that exactly was, but that was like your old Facebook page. Very least, and I'd love for you to go ahead and talk about your first starting process on getting things moving involved with like you making a social media page and like making things on Facebook as well, and then moving on from that. Just go off.
Okay. Funnily enough, when I first sort of started the whole like social media thing, it would have been back in 2012. I would have still been in high school. I actually wasn't that much of an artist. Like, I drew as, like, a hobby. Like, I doodle stuff in my school books, but, like, that was it. And literally, like, all that happened was I chanced upon a couple of my friends who I knew from, like, forum days who had, like, their Facebook pages that they just posted, like, memes and video game jokes on and stuff. And I thought, oh, I wanna do that. And I made this old Facebook page called Mugen, which is defunct now. I deactivated it many, many years ago.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
lost to the depths. And I just posted like whatever random crap on there, and just one day I decided I'm gonna make like some crappy MS Paint comics, like using my mouse, using like the shape tools and everything, with like really sort of Fedorian social commentary, like, you know, smarter than everyone. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I hate thinking about it, because like I can't, it's like it's so hard to escape from the fact that like that was me once upon a time. Like I'm just making these crappy comics. It's like, oh god, look how much smarter I am than all of you. Like look at how big my brain is. It was awful. They were terrible. Like you're really not missing much by not seeing them.
Everybody has a start.
Yeah, you're right. These are the skeletons in my closet, so to speak. But I actually started getting a bit of traction off of that. People, they weren't good comics by like any means, but people liked the fact that I guess I was making my own content, and that was sort of what pushed me more to become like to draw more. Like I was already drawing. I'd been drawing since I was 10, like 8, 9 years old. But it was around this time that I started like, you know, making my own stuff and pushing it out onto the internet for other people to see, that I thought, all right, like maybe there's something to this. And like, obviously it wasn't just only the fact that people were seeing it that made me want to draw. Like I liked doing it. I still really like doing it. I can't really see myself doing anything else, but that was sort of what like made me think, okay, this could be like a career. Like this could be something that people know me for doing. And so I just kept doing that for a bit, and it was around 2013 that I started just wanting to draw more. I didn't really care much about making comics or scathing commentary that asserted how much of a galaxy brain I was to everyone around me. But you know, I just kind of wanted to draw stuff. Like I just drew whatever came to mind. It's hard to really say what I was influenced by, because back then I didn't really look at much art. I wasn't that good. I didn't really have that informed of an art style. I didn't even pay much attention to my fundamentals back then. I just wanted to draw. Mm-hmm. And around 2014 was when I sort of just decided I'm just gonna draw like anime girls.
Yes. And we and you never looked back. Let's go. Like,
genuinely, I have never looked back, but my old page at the time, they were still sort of there because they wanted like all the commentary and the opinions and the political stuff, and I just didn't want to do that anymore. So like it was literally an overnight process. I just made a new page in June 2014. That was a Hummingbird. I just made a new page, deactivated the old one, and just started posting on that. And it worked out really well, because just by doing that, I was able to cultivate a base of people that was there for content that I wanted to make and was still interested in making, as opposed to people who were just there because they were holding out on the you know, hoping that I would one day return to stuff that I'd left behind.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. I want to do a little sidebar, is like the difference between having an old core audience that enjoyed you for you, and the audience that enjoyed the opinions you had back then, and like maybe they enjoyed the art, maybe they enjoyed the art style, and they wanted to go ahead and like they wanted to see the next step of you as an artist rather than just because of your political takes. And so I think that really did help with that, especially making the comics and transitioning to that. I think that's how your base at least started. But good, continue. I'd love to hear more.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Thank you, by the way. It's. Yeah, like, that's also why I don't post, like, many opinions to, like, my Twitter or my Instagram or, like, my Facebook page, because it's like, I've been there, I've done that, I kind of, I don't want to go back to that. I know how miserable it's made me before.
Sour taste in your mouth. I get it.
Oh my god, yeah. But yeah, 2014, I just decided, yeah, you know, I'm just gonna like focus entirely on drawing because that makes me happy. And Hummingbird was the character that I had initially chosen as like my mascot for that page, which is why I named the page Hummingbird. So I was like, oh, cool, I have more of an excuse to draw this character. I actually came up with her as part of a university assignment. It was a creative writing assignment. And I came up with her alongside two other characters who were named Comet and Raleigh, if I recall correctly. And they were bounty hunters in like this, you know, this futuristic dystopian like desert metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
And Hummingbird was the one that all of my friends at the time liked the most. So I decided, all right, I'll stick with her and we'll see how that goes. And it went pretty well. And as the years went on, I started practicing my fundamentals more. I started, you know, I made the transition from a hobbyist artist to a career artist. I make a lot of my money from commissions and from Patreon now. And yeah, that's kind of where I've been ever since. I've started working on like comic projects that I'm still trying to find. You know, I've been writing and drawing a lot of them, but I'm still trying to find the time and sort of the place of mind to really make some serious headway on those. But yeah, sometime between then and now, I changed my name from Hummingbird to Youngbird. Youngbird was initially a nickname that I adopted as a joke because a few years ago, I still listened to a lot of trap music. I still really like it, but like I was knee deep in that stuff like way back in the day. And like a lot of trap artists, you know, they put like Young in front of their name. And so as a result, some of my friends started calling me Youngbird as a joke, because it sounded a bit like Hummingbird, at least when written out. And, you know, I used to post about trap music a lot. And then eventually I just kind of adopted that as a name on everything. I guess I liked how it sounded. Yeah. It felt like it was a name that sort of like, you know, it was pertinent to my interests. It was referential to my work. And, you know, I felt it worked. I felt it sort of reflected who I was on. To a degree.
Yeah, and also it wasn't exactly your character. So you can be like, you as an artist are known as Youngbird now, but you have a character called Hummingbird. So it feeds back on each other, where like you don't have to go ahead and be like, oh no, I'm not pretending to be a character drawing things. You're your own person along with that. So it helped with that process, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. 100% it did. It also helped because in my earlier days, people would think that I was a woman a lot. It resulted in some very questionable DMs being sent to my inbox. It resulted in some very thirsty comments from people, which I, you know, I'd read, and I think I'm just gonna leave that alone. I don't really want to touch that.
It's an interesting thing, especially as your art is it's mostly because your art tends to be of women that people think like, oh, you have to, you, if you're weird, people think that they could shoot their shot with whatever moves on the frickin' internet. I swear to God.
Yeah, right? Like, people, like, you see a woman online and people are just like rubbing their hands together.
Just like, oh, I've got this. This is my time to shine. Oh, man. Degenerates on the internet tend to be an interesting topic. And it's especially that of female artists who deal with this kind of stuff, because they don't even show themselves. They just show their art that they make, and they're still like, sought after, and it's really interesting.
It's really funny. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm David Attenborough watching this shit.
I can see it.
Like, I'm just crouched in a bush with a pair of binoculars watching some guy trying to, like, slide in someone's DMs.
Especially when it comes to you. Yeah, it's just like, this is what they think. This is how they interact. And you can take it from a non-personal level because you're not even what they would want if you were to be. Okay. That's hilarious still, bit of content.
I still get it. I still get it on Twitter. Sometimes, like, I've had people, like, in my mentions trying to hit on me, and, like, I've posted pictures of myself on Twitter before. Like, I am very baby-faced, but I still look, like, distinctly masculine. And so I just wonder if people are, like, lying to themselves, maybe. Like, I remember back in January, back when the bushfires were happening over in the eastern states, I was posting a lot about that for awareness, because, you know, it's my country. My country was on fire, and I wanted to help raise money for it. And I posted about it on Twitter, and I made a post about how, like, really steep the damages were, and this one guy who I'd literally never spoken to in my entire life just responds to the post saying, "Have you had a rough day, sweetie?" And I'm just like, who the fuck are you?
Holy, this is absolute gold. I'm glad I could be the vent release to all of your fans. Please,
I'm just like,
please do.
I'm just like, who the fuck are you? Like, why? even if I was a woman, like, I'm posting about how the east side of my country is on fire and you're trying to fucking hit on me. Like, what is wrong with you?
this is a great topic, and I would love to hear more about this, but your characters have a lot of personality. Clearly you do too. I love this so much.
Thank you.
I'm gonna reel this back in, because this is a great topic to talk on, and I like, if you ever have the time, I'd love to hear more about this. But I want to talk a bit more about the art in your characters, because they all have very very unique, very distinct personalities. I can clearly go ahead and see, while still keeping a similar art style, and it's very so the consistency between your art style is easy to see, but you also have distinct characters within that. And I want to go ahead and talk to you about the art style in which you have. Why don't you go ahead and discuss how you've grown that further, and like what are some of the things, like, you didn't have initial inspirations, but how have you gotten inspired by recent like art that you've either seen, or like moods that you have, or feelings, or maybe, like, I don't know, one artist enjoyed music, that was the way they got into things. How did you get inspired by some of your characters?
I also get a lot of my inspiration from music. I'm a very, I don't want to say I'm like a very big music head, because that sounds like a bit pretentious to me, but like I listen to tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff.
No, it's totally, I totally get
it. My playlists and my libraries on Spotify are like tremendously huge. I archive so much stuff. Like, I've got several playlists that have like thousands and thousands of songs on them, and that's just like categorized by like stuff I want to listen to when I want to chill out, stuff I want to listen to when I'm like in a pissy mood, stuff that's just really dirty and angry and I love it, stuff that came from Japan. Art-wise, I think one of my first inspirations as an artist was Alex Ahad, or Ahad, I don't know how to pronounce it, but OH8, the lead character designer for Skullgirls. I still like his art a lot, but back in like 2014, when I sort of found my direction as an artist, I idolized his work so much. Like, I loved it. I would look at it and I'd think, this is what I want to do. Like, this is what I want to be. And since then, I've found like tons and tons and tons of other artists that I really like other artists, other studios. I am a huge fan of Studio Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff like Space Patrol Ulico, Gurren Lagann, FLCL, although I think that was technically Gainax, mm-hmm. Penny and Stocking, which was also Gainax.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are some of my favorite things. I love the way they look. I love the way they're animated. And I love the way that those characters are designed. And that's like stuff I really try to channel into my own art. I'm a huge fan of like Sushio and Yo Yoshinari. I have Sushio's art book, The Idol, which is like my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I'm like running low on inspiration, I'll like flip through that and just look at this stuff. And, you know, sometimes I'll just be like, oh man, like I just want to be like this one day. And then other times I'll just be like, you know, this is just like, this is pumping me up. I just want to draw now. Like I want to make stuff that looks like this. Cause I think that's one of the parts of like growing as an artist that I think a lot of people don't talk about is like the mental part.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the biggest stepping stones you can make as an artist is when you go from looking at an artist you like and thinking, man, I wish I could be this good, to looking at an artist and thinking, I'm gonna be this good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge stepping stone of just being able to tell yourself, you know, being able to look at stuff that's fantastic, that realistically would blow your own stuff out of the water, and thinking, this just makes me want to work harder. Like, this just makes me want to push. This just makes me want to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Other inspirations I have, I'm going to have to open up my folder.
Mm-hmm.
I have a big folder of art I like, sorted into artists I like. Uzura 3026 is another one, a Japanese artist that I really like. They have like this really simple style with like these really simple but really charming animations as well. Konjac is another one of my very early inspirations, particularly how he colors and how he renders is super nice.
Mm.
There's also artists like Panoramango, Paul Robertson, Terracoot, I really like. Yeah, like, I'm always looking at other artists I really like. Jiro Samayama is another one that I just remembered. And Endshark as well, who I've spoken to a couple of times and is very nice. Like, what I do with my art nowadays, developing it, is if I like, when I find styles I like, I try to sort of deconstruct it in my head. And specifically, I think, okay, like, what is it that draws me to this art, right? Like, is it how they capture gesture? Is it how they capture motion? Is it how they stylize the anatomy? Is it the colors they use? Is it how they render? Is it how, you know, is it the character design elements they use? Like, is it the atmospheres that they create? Is it the environments that they depict? Mm-hmm. And I'll sort of isolate what specifically it is that draws me to that style, and then I'll try to figure out, okay, how can I apply this to my own art style in a way that like harmonizes, in a way that's distinctly me, in a way that's me doing it, in a way that sort of, you know, it's in a way that's inspired and not copying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, there's a difference between like taking influence and just like copying. I think that's a very important difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of how my art style came about. Like, I've always liked like distinctly Japanese things as well. Like, I am a weeaboo, I will admit that. almost all of my favorite artists are like either Japanese or very like anime inspired, which is really ironic considering like way back in the day I actually didn't like anime at all, like when I was a kid, and then you know I started watching it in like when I was in like grade 12 because my friends recommended a couple things to me, and then I just fell down a rabbit hole.
Ugh.
And I've been stuck at the bottom ever since.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it really does. who can relate? Yeah, like it, not even just anime, but like Japanese aesthetics, like, you know, culture and stuff like that as well. Most of my Twitter feed nowadays at certain hours of the day are just all of the Japanese urban photography blogs I have followed, because I am actually quite interested in architecture and interior design. Interior
yeah.
design as well. And particularly in Japan, like the architecture, like I've always really liked like urban environments, big cities, metropolises and stuff like that, for reasons that I can't tell you. I don't know them myself, but I've always liked that stuff. And I have, because I was in Japan just a few months ago, and I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos that I just took of like buildings when I was out around Tokyo, out at like Ueno and Shibuya and Shinjuku and Akihabara. Just all these photos that I took, which I've used for speed paints and studies and mood boards and all that some such.
I can definitely see the inspiration from that, especially from your wanting to have your willingness to draw machinery, which is not something that a lot of particularly artists that I've known enjoy doing. Like having either inanimate objects or having machinery inside of your work. Specifically of some of the characters that I personally recall, Sleepyhead especially, you're like have the willingness to go ahead and draw these extra bits on them, not just involving with the I'm guessing that comes also inspired by the Studio Trigger stuff of like you're inspired by them, especially the mechs coming from Gurren Lagann, like that's a big thing involved with that.
Oh my god, yeah.
That probably helps with that, and also like the machinery within and the whole aesthetic between that. Like I totally get it. Like the colors within the the way things are shaped, the different like sort of color palettes that are inside of like that are in the architecture as well, especially within like the deep urban areas. Like there's a lot of inspiration that comes through where it's like like almost in the same sort of realm as like in the same sort of realm that you don't typically see in your location, where it's like here you get basic buildings. And speaking from my perspective, you get basic set buildings that you see often, and you get a lot of different. If there's anything, it's somewhat spread apart because there's a lot more landmass as well. And if there is anything big, it's mostly about height.
Yeah, that's much the same over here as well.
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing in Japan, like a lot of it's more closely condensed together, along with like wanting to stand out in unique ways to go ahead and get people's attention.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that involved.
Because everything's like way more compact over there because like there's a lot more people over there than there are over here in Australia, but like there's so much less land, so they sort of have to be a lot more mindful with how they use and how they develop that land.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that has influenced the architecture and the urban development is really interesting. That was something that fascinated me a lot when I was over there. I wanted to mention as well, because you mentioned machinery. I think the reason that I don't stray away from drawing machinery is because I've always been really fascinated with like geometry, and that's what machinery is it's very mathematical and it's very geometric, and I personally really like that. Like it I don't know what it is I like about it, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the fact that you can sort of get lost in like the detail. You can sort of, you know, turn your brain off and start, you know, getting into it, because it's a very mechanical process. It's not so much about, you know, feeling things as so much as it is just about measuring and following patterns. And sometimes that's a refreshing thing to do when you're drawing. Another artist that I really like who does that kind of stuff superbly is another Japanese artist named J.N. Thed. I think I pronounced that right. But they are also a superb artist who I like a lot. I look at a lot of their art very frequently. On the topic of machinery, one of my favorite things to draw actually is guns, because so long as you can get a good reference, drawing guns for me personally is really easy and really satisfying. And I just have a lot of fun doing it. I think there's a lot of there are a lot of cool poses. There are a lot of cool compositions that you can make with guns. It's just a fun thing for me to draw, and I've always really liked sort of that action-y stuff. It's something that I've sort of put into a lot of my characters as well. Like, I have a lot of characters that frequently use guns, because you know, I watched a lot of movies like that growing up, or I watched a lot of cartoons and anime like that. And so that's sort of just something that's stuck into my head. Like, people that use guns in cartoons are usually cool. I recently watched Gunsmith Cats with a couple of my friends, which is absolutely fantastic. I'm legitimately depressed that we're never going to be getting any more of it, because there really needs to be more of it. But yeah. Sorry for going off on a tangent there, but
hello there. Sorry, didn't mean to go Obi-Wan on you. Just wanted to go ahead and say this middle bit is going to have three sections, the first of which is going to be an ad read involving Buy Me a Coffee. The second of which is going to be a further discussion about the partnership I have just had with the ever-wonderful Shy Starfall. And the last one is going to be a little treat for all of you. So, hopefully, all of you will go ahead and stay tuned, because I'm thinking you guys are going to like it. Anyways, welcome to the middle bit. First thing I'd like to say is that we have a sponsor with buymeacoffee.com. I want to ensure that sponsorships make sense for this podcast, and when Buy Me a Coffee reached out to me, it made a ton of sense. Buy Me a Coffee is a great way to accept support and offer extras to your audience. There are more than 100,000 creators across 750 categories, and this podcast is on there too. But we'll talk about that in a bit. First, what about you? If you are a commission-based creator, Buy Me a Coffee has a feature just for you. You could set up your page to take art commissions with features such as placing maximum slots, setting prices, describing the amount you charge, and more. You can use their pre-filled art commissions template, or make your very own personalized to you. If you're interested at all, you can visit my link in the audio description or on YouTube in the description below. And if you're looking a way to support me, come take a look at my Buy Me a Coffee page. There you can figure out a way to sponsor the podcast, as well as get your message read on this very show. Thank you once again to Buy Me a Coffee for this opportunity, and I'm thankful if you support the show. The second thing that I'd like to announce is that I'm officially partnering with Shy Starfall, aka Hugo, the host of The Artfall. We've been in sort of a partnership for a while now, promoting each other on our different shows, him on his Twitch stream, me on my podcast, but we thought it'd be official to make our partnership happen. The main thing that's going to be known for you is that things won't really change for you audio content-wise. Maybe you'd hear his voice in some episodes of the podcast, but this is generally a behind-the-scenes sort of thing. Us helping each other out, maybe we're going to go and help out with each other get guests, I am helping produce his show, his Twitch show, The Artfall. You should go check it out. It's a lot of fun. This episode that's coming up actually for this week, if you're listening right now, this upcoming Tuesday, let me go ahead and check here. Tuesday the 30th of June is going to be the episode with D, a wonderful past guest of ours, and a friend of myself and Youngbird. So honestly, it's one of like a great mix and match. Youngbird's been on the show as well. You can go ahead and find his episode of The Artfall on his YouTube channel. But yeah, overall, the partnership is mostly meant to be a behind-the-scenes collaboration to make it official and transparent to the rest of you that, yeah, we're working together. And there's a reason why I'm promoting him as much as I am, because we are both working together on both of our different projects. So it makes a lot of sense for us. So just want to go ahead and get that out of there, get that out of the way. And if you want to go ahead and look at the announcement video, it's actually on my YouTube as well as on all my social media. So you can go ahead and look at that from there. And for the last thing, I did a little bit of a collaboration with a past guest of mine and a good friend. Take it away.
And now, an audio rendition of 12 Ounce Mouse. Created originally for Adult Swim by Bant Morello, now voiced by Doc Conrad and Kaya Laura. The following is only a parody. Matt, if you have an issue, email me and get on the podcast. Thank you.
Can I help you?
Can I help you?
What do you do?
I do it all.
Have a seat.
I will, because that's something I can do.
Then do something. Do something.
I am. I did.
What
it's already done.
What did you do?
I helped you.
Are you drunk?
Not drunk enough. Can I help you?
Yes, you can. Got a job for you.
Okay. I'm hired.
Businessman coming in today. Very important.
Whoa. A real businessman? No way.
He's rectangly. That's how you'll know him. By his rectangularness.
No way.
Driving to Cheese Industries. You don't even know where that is. That's why we picked you. Because everybody else knows.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look what I found. I gotta do this first.
Okay. That works. How about now?
Yes, how about now?
Yeah, now's good. Before would have been better, but before is over.
Off on a tangent
oh,
there.
Oh, but... no, you're fine, you're fine. This is exactly what I want. In terms of that, you get sometimes, I'm guessing a little bit, not so much, you find a lot of, you find a little bit therapeutic to go ahead and at least follow exactly, like, the lines in which you are drawing and don't have to worry about it, because it's only geometric shapes, especially within, that of, that within machinery. Like, it's a very different, it's a very different, like, sort of, scaling and positioning of, like, your character is doing an action pose, but the weapon itself has to be, like, at exact precise angles because of how they're made. And whereas your characters could be the ones to express everything that they have. And each of your characters has those different sort of expressions, especially used along with the alongside with those things. Each of your characters has, like, either very... It's very much, like, they show their personality within their facial expressions, and you're able to go ahead and show off exactly how they're convey how they're feeling, And how, like, either excited or disappointed or impressed or, like, any sort of feeling that you have the ability to clearly show how they are. And I want to go ahead and touch on that, with all your expression work, because it's one of the most striking things about each of your characters is the expressions that each of them have. Why don't you go ahead and talk a bit about how you, take care of that?
I think the way that I usually do that is, when I come up with characters, I sort of go from, like, the ground up. Like, I'll pick out, like, two or three words that I think accurately encompasses what their personality is. And then I'll try and sort of design around that. Because how a character's, like, resting facial expression is usually reflects that. Like, Peanut, for instance, who's probably my most popular character by a long shot. You know, she's usually got, like, the wide open eyes, the sort of the thousand yard, very vacant stare, the smile. So you're not really going to look at that and think, oh, you know, she's a bit of a bitchy brainiac, isn't she? Like, mm-hmm. No, she's very happy, and she's very much, you know, the lights are on, but no one's home. Whereas, you know, another character of mine, Bonnie, who has the hair covering her eyes.
Yeah.
That was sort of interesting because the only part of her face that you ever see is her mouth. So that sort of poses a challenge because that has to, like, show how, you know, that has to show how she's feeling. But there's also, you know, there's also a lot more focus on her body language to show that as well, since her eyes aren't there to reflect those emotions. Although sometimes I do cheat, and whenever she's feeling, like, very strong emotions, I'll show her eyes under her hair. But yeah, the way that I do facial expressions, it revolves entirely around, like, what that character's disposition is. You know, Peanut's a happy little airhead, so she very often has, like, a very blank, you know, a blank stare accompanied by a little smile.
Mm-hmm.
Another character of mine, Prudence, she's the one that wears the bear hoodie. She is very smug, very conceited, very much, I'm the best, everyone just doesn't know it yet. And so she usually has, like, a very confident smirk on her face. Like, she has, you know, the very subtle, like, three mouth. She's got, like, her eyes are still wide open, but her eyebrows sort of have, like, that subtle tilt inwards that sort of say, like, you know, whatever the day is gonna throw at me, I'm gonna make it my bitch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Chaser, who is another one of my main characters, the ginger one with the big Coke bottle glasses and, like, the horns coming out of her head.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit tough with her because normally with her, she's a very shy, a very meek, sort of passive character, but her facial, her, like, default sort of facial expressions don't always reflect that. Because most of the time when I draw her, I do try to give her as well a more of a blank expression.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of to imply that, like, or to sort of infer more so that a lot of her character traits sort of come from the fact that she doesn't know very much what's going on. She's not very savvy when it comes to other people. She's not very good at reading other people.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, she's the kind of person that aims to be more of a wallflower than anything. And yeah, it. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, I could say yeah. I could definitely see that. Yeah, sorry.
Continue. Yeah. Oh no, you're all good. And yeah, it's because ultimately expressions have to reflect how characters are feeling, and how characters feel about certain things sort of comes from how they're predisposed to think. you know, how their personalities sort of code them to react to certain situations, to interpret certain actions, certain environments, certain circumstances. And so that's sort of how I try to inform a lot of my expression drawing. It's also a lot of how I draw expressions comes from, like, the cartoons I watched as a kid. Like, when I was, like, 10, 9, 8, counting backwards, when I was, like, very young, I watched a lot of Cartoon Network, especially stuff like Ed, Edd n Eddy, Kids Next Door, and Billy and Mandy, which had, like, those very, very expressive art styles. It's very exaggerated expressions, yeah. And I always jived really heavily with that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that was always going to be something that I tried to do with my own art.
I definitely think that I can see the influence between those two art styles meeting together, especially that of your that in which, like, the art style is consistent, which is an indicator of, like, and there's of course definitely Japanese influences, but the way in which your characters express themselves, especially, and the way that they all have, like, very distinct personalities that are unique not only to them but not so much a mirror of people in real life really adds to the whole cartoony vibe, along with the anime vibe of each of these characters has like consistency in the way in which they are proportionally drawn and all that, whereas Western has not so much done that as of late. They're willing to go ahead and squash things and stretch things a lot more, involving like especially the body. But in the face, yeah. You're willing to go ahead and, like, express yourselves and really exaggerate things even further than Japanese artists typically will. I can see that a little bit. And maybe that's coming from a place... Maybe I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but that's what I can see.
That's right. I don't even know I know what the hell I'm talking about most of the time.
Let's go. All right. We are getting a little bit closer and closer towards the end of the episode, but I appreciate all you've told me so far, and I want to say that I absolutely love each of your characters and how you draw them, how you express them, the way in which they go through, and I could definitely see a storyline with some of your characters going through and making a comic in that regard. And if it were to be one, would it happen to be called Reject Force? Is that what you're considering, like, the name to be? Because I see that in your Facebook header.
Yes, it is. I have been working on it for a few years now. It has gone through a few different iterations where I've written a bit and then realized this won't work, and then I sort of need to start again from square one. But this is the one. This is the one. The script that I'm on right now, the thumbnails that I've got right now. This is the one. I'm gonna make something of this.
Perfect.
I swear it.
that's really good. I really do. I really can't wait to go and hear more about it, because I could definitely see each of your characters being able to interact with each other in a hilarious and interesting way. And I can definitely see the growth between them as well, with the way you're gonna be able to express them. It's gonna be fantastic. I want to go ahead and take things a step back and talk a bit more about you, yourself. This is going to be the little bit of personal bit you want to go ahead and talk about.
All right.
If I saw a little bit ago, and feel free to go ahead and tell me, you don't want to worry about it, but you were a little bit not so motivated involving your art, and there was things going on that I'm guessing affected you in that regard. Do you want to go ahead and talk about that at all?
This is something that I've struggled with for a few years now, but it's sort of like it becomes hard not to see art as like a full-time job. And that in itself is really demotivating, because it's like, I'm not doing this because I want to, I'm doing this because I have to. And when you're doing something creative, you know, when you're doing creative work, but it's not coming from a place of creativity, it really feels like you're trying to squeeze blood from a stone. Mm. And that was sort of something that I felt I felt at odds with. Another thing that I've struggled with a a lot that sort of relates to that is, particularly a few years ago, I was very much consumed by the popularity that my art had got. And so instead of drawing things because I wanted to draw them, I'd be drawing things because I think, oh, this will get attention. This will, you know, people will like this. People will like this if I do this. And again, you start drawing for other people and not for yourself. You know, you're doing something that should be coming from somewhere within you, but like none of you is in it, if that makes any sense at all.
It does. It does.
Yeah, it becomes really difficult because, you know, you think about things that you want to do, but then you've trained yourself to push that to the back of your mind because you think, no, that goes against what you have to do. That goes against, you know, your goals to get bigger. That goes against what people like. That goes against, you know, the job that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of finding that balance between being a career artist and still doing things for me, that was something that I spent a lot of time doing. And it's something that I still struggle with, but I think I'm getting better with it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, like, if you're an artist, you know, things have to come from within you. Like, your heart has to be in it. Like, it's really cliche and kind of cheesy, but like, you know, your heart has to be in it if you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ultimately, we're all drawing because we like drawing. We all make art because we like making art. We like creating things. And our art styles are reflections of our tastes as artists. They're reflections of the things that hold, you know, they hold value to us. They're things that when we look at, they make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important that, you know, even if art is our job, art is something that we're paid to do, and a lot of our time has to be dedicated to making art for other people, I still think it's important that we find things that make us happy, that, you know, we do things just for ourselves. And that's something that I've realized recently. And in taking more time to do things for myself, I have felt way more motivated and have made way more time to do things for other people as well. Because I, you know, when I'm working for other people, I don't feel like I'm denying myself time for myself. I'm not denying myself any of my self-indulgence. And, you know, when I get that out of the way, I don't feel demotivated to work on things for other people. And that means I do better work for other people. And I was going to say something else, but it completely slipped my mind.
You're fine.
I think it's also the popularity struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Is, because I feel like, and I've met people that as artists, all they ever want to be is popular. All they ever want to be is,
mm-hmm,
like, they just want to be big. They want to have the big numbers. And it's honestly kind of depressing because I've been there and I know how unsatisfying that is when the only thing you draw for are the numbers. Mm-hmm. Because that's all that the things you make start to mean to you. That's the only value they have to you are the reception. Like, the only value it has is the reception that it gets.
Yeah.
And even once you start getting those big numbers, they start just not being enough. Like, you just want more, you want more, you want more likes, you want more retweets, you want more replies, you want more validation, you want more this and that. And then when you don't get what you're expecting, or you don't get what you're hoping for, it starts to sort of demotivate you. Yeah. And it's a really bad thing to be demotivated by, but it's a trap that people do fall into. And I think one of the things that helped me was remembering that, you know, one of the reasons that people were there for my art was because they liked my art. They just liked what I had to show. They liked what I had to put out, and they liked what I had to offer.
Yeah.
And sort of being more mindful of that, keeping that in mind, has sort of helped me, you know, sit down and think, okay, you know, I want to do this in my spare time. And I think that just me wanting to do this is more than enough justification for me to sit down and do it. And it, you know, even if thousands and thousands and thousands of people don't want to see it, that's okay, because, you know, I like it, and that's what matters. You know, I've drawn this for me, and seeing as I am drawing this for me, what's important is that I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if other people really like it, if other people get into it, if other people, you know, think this is really good, that's an added bonus. It's a really big bonus. It's a bonus that, you know, I appreciate a lot. I appreciate all of the love that comes my way. I don't have words for how much I appreciate it. But, you know, when I'm working on things, for me, the most important thing is that I like it, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're coming from. I know that the idea of wanting to do things out of the art as itself is a job of passion. Wanting to go ahead and do things involving that is a job of passion, and moving, changing the way that the reason why you draw to be something different, involved with like wanting to get more popular, is one that I think can eventually become a trap of getting sucked down into. And you can clearly hurt it yourself. You've heard it yourself. You've known it. And I want to go ahead and tell you that like your art in terms of a fan base is one of we love your art because it's made by you. That's the main thing. There are people out there who may like a particular character a little bit more than them, like more than others. That may be the case. Maybe you make something that like people can easily relate to. That's understandable. But what's most important is the reason why we found you, especially on the base surface level of finding your art, is we love your characters, we love the way that you express them, we love their art style, we love their coloring, we love the way that you draw them together, and we're excited to hear more about them each and every time. Every single post in terms of that is great to go ahead and see from you, no matter what it is. Perhaps you can go ahead and think to yourself, oh, they won't see as many people. Like for instance, if one of your posts gets a little bit less of a following, yeah, sure, maybe some people didn't go ahead and see it. Maybe it wasn't the right time of day to go ahead and post it. Maybe it was something along the lines of not as many people saw it in the first place. Maybe it was a case where people wanted to go ahead and see like a particular character and didn't go ahead and see it, but hey, they followed you for a reason. They followed you because they liked your art, because that your art is quality, because it is a great, it is absolutely wonderful, and we can see and feel that passion that you put into these characters a lot. We can see that. It's how I found you early on. It's why even though I haven't seen some of your art as of recent, I told you, it striking in my head when I thought of you, I thought of one of your many characters that you made, just because I remember seeing them a while back. Like, that's how striking and visually, interesting your characters are, that I can recall them. That is something that, like, you have a talent for as an artist to go ahead and recall. And I know that a lot of times there are things that you worry about in terms of like motivation, in terms of seeing the numbers as just numbers, but behind each of those numbers is a person who enjoys your art and thinks that it is wonderful and quality. If you had a stadium of just going off your Twitter, 27,900 people all looking at your art, just like wanting to go ahead and sit. Imagine that in a theater. You can't. It's impossible. It's near about impossible. It's like stadium size of people who have seen your art and want to know more about you. That is, and want to know more about you, your characters, yourself. And man, I really like what you've done so far. I've loved seeing your process grow from how you once were and changing from your comics. And you have to recall, you originally had like your original style was what you're feeling a little bit right now. People looking at your wanting to go ahead and pay attention to the one of your qualities, that being like your political opinions, and then you changed it to your art, and that's why we're following you now, because we love your art. Like, no matter what it is you draw, no matter how far it is you like, no matter what you do, like, as long as you're passionate about it, that's the basis of everything that we followed you for, is that passion. There might be people who fall on the coattails and just think the art looks pretty, and they want to maybe have it in like sort of that regard too. But there's a lot of people who think the same way as me. And I hope you can go ahead and recognize it and reflect on that as well.
Duh, you're gonna make me blush. No, thank you. I really appreciate it. That really does make me feel good to hear. I do appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead. For the most part, I do think it is something that I've been improving with a lot. Mm-hmm. Because, again, art's stopped being sort of about the numbers for me, and more about sort of...
It's good.
Yeah, like... And again, like, a very important part is something that you mentioned, which is that behind every single one of those numbers is a person. And I think that's also a really constructive mindset that helps with anyone who struggles with thinking, oh man, like, you know, not many people like my art. It's like, if you only get like 20 or 30 likes on a drawing, that's still 20 or 30 people that are looking at this thing that you've made and think, yeah, shit, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking awesome. Like, it's still people looking at something you've made and thinking, yeah, fuck, I like this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is awesome. This is great. And that in itself feels good. And it's even more satisfying personally to me now that I am doing stuff for me, as opposed to doing stuff that I think will appease other people, because it's like, I'm doing stuff for me and people really like it. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the words to describe it, but it's like, it feels really, really validating almost, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, these are things that are based entirely off of my tastes alone, based entirely off of things that I want to see, and all these other people are sort of saying, yeah, we want to see it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as, you know, we trust you with this vision enough that we want to see you do it. That might be a really conceited way to look at it now that I put it into words.
Well, in terms of art, like, for certain, there can be ways in which you can think of it in a more conceited mindset. But in terms of art, like, the whole point of your characters is to make them because of like the passion that you have for them, and people enjoy it as well. There's a difference between making things for a specific audience and making things for yourself, and finding that those two things can overlap is exactly the mindset you want to do. If you want to continue to continue to grow as an artist for certain, but you also feel the passion in which you do it in yourself, and that's what's most important. You don't want to lean too far one way or the other in terms of alienating your audience, and leaning too far in the other way of only appeasing them really makes it so it's harder for you to go ahead and work on your own individual stuff.
It's also really great because it helps you meet like-minded people as well.
Yeah.
Like other artists, other appreciators, because like, you know, you'll put out the stuff that you like because you like it, and they'll see it and they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, I like that kind of stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you find common ground and that stuff. Like, I've met people by just doing fan art of obscure stuff. Like, I don't have any stories that come to the top of my head right now because my brain is an absolute mess. Quarantine has actually fried me. It's just like microwaved my fucking brain. But the best thing you can do as an artist is just make sure that you don't neglect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on a on like a content level or on a stylistic level, because that's not something that I've struggled with on a stylistic level, but I know people who have struggled with it, is that because I talked about myself and there are other people who very much, like, you know, shirked their fundamentals to go off and draw stuff in the styles they like, which I'm going to say right now, I don't encourage that. I got better. You should too. But I know people who have gone very much in the opposite direction, which is they want to draw stylistically, and so in order to learn how to draw, they've like knuckled down on their fundamentals, and that's all they've practiced, and it's just fundamentals, realism, studies. And then, you know, they think, okay, I'm just going to keep doing this until I think I'm good enough to adopt a style. And then they get to a point where it's like, okay, I want to adopt a style now, but I don't know how to. Realism is literally all I know how to do. And so when people sort of ask me, like, hey, I'm starting out studying, I want to get a lot better at art, is there any advice that you have? One of the things I tell people is, like, yeah, make sure you study, make sure you know your fundamentals, make sure that you know about gesture and anatomy and proportion and composition and perspective and all that good stuff and all those other big words that sound very scary. But if you want to draw stylistically, don't neglect that. You know, make sure you don't neglect your fundamentals and your studies, because those are very important. Personally, I try and do like two photo studies every day. And before quarantine hit, I used to go to life drawing sessions every week. Not that anyone else has to do that. That's just how extra I like to be. But at the same time, you know, make sure that you're not neglecting that style that you want to develop, because if you hit the point where it's like, I don't know how to draw stylistically anymore, that's sort of a trap that can be really hard to climb out of, because, you know, you start developing habits, and then, you know, habits are really, really hard to break. Yeah. And not that, you know, defaulting to realism is a necessarily harmful habit. You know, there's a lot of realism art that looks fantastic, and realism art can look very, very good. But if that's not what you want to do, then that's not what you want to do. And ultimately, if, you know, in art, the most important thing should be, what do you want to do? And if that's not realism, then only drawing in realism can be incredibly harmful, because that's not what you want to do. And then art ends up not being that enjoyable process that you want it to be, because, like, in my mind, a lot of the process is sort of looking forward to that result that you can take pride in, that result that you can look at and say, yeah, you know, I'm proud of this, I like this.
I really appreciate you talking and reflecting on that, especially with like how other artists can get stuck in that mindset. And I want to go ahead and say that we are going to go ahead and start wrapping things up a little bit more. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up, but to finalize things, I asked this question to one of my other guests, and it was gave me an interesting response.
Okay.
Who is Youngbird to you? Who are you?
A gremlin. That's a tough question. I've never really thought of myself as anything special. Like, I'm just a guy from Australia that just, like, sits at home and draws all day. I've always been a person that sort of relied more on how other people see me to sort of inform how I see myself.
Mm.
So when asked to sort of define myself, I start drawing a few blanks.
Because
It's like...
it's.
I feel like I can only describe myself on a very base level. It's like, I'm an Australian dude. I draw a lot. I like electronic music. I have a huge fascination with Japan. And that's sort of where that ends.
I definitely can tell you that there's a lot of different things that you can see about yourself, and maybe it takes a bit of time to go ahead and self-reflect on who you think that you are. And I know that that you might be concerned about that, but I know you can go ahead and figure out more about yourself. It's a tough process. I totally get that, but it's one that I'm certain that you can go ahead and make known. And on that note, I want to go ahead and reiterate that you are a fantastic artist, one that whose passion is clearly shown throughout the entirety of your artistic career, that's grown and changed, one that's able to see how you've been able to go ahead and take different sort of interests and expressions and be able to present them in a whole new light to a totally different set of people across the world. Your passion for it is great. Your hard work has shown, and I wanted to make sure that you know that you are appreciated by a lot of different people who enjoy your work, myself included. So, Youngbird, thank you so much for coming along. I really do appreciate you doing this interview.
Thank you for having me on. It has been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Commissions Open. If you would, please follow this podcast on whatever app you use. I would most definitely appreciate it. If you'd like to keep up to date with the show, you can follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Comms Open Podcast. There you can learn about new guests, updates to the format of the podcast, as well as special announcements. I also want to give a huge thank you to the many artists who have helped work on this podcast. At Meloscav, at MeloScav, created the font for the icon for this podcast. And at Shy Starfall, SHYSTARFALL, created the character art for the icon for this podcast. I also want to give a huge thank you to the character artist behind all of the episodes. That would be at Doida Flower, at DOIDUHFLOWER. And finally, I want to give a huge thank you to my promotional artist, Andromeda_Snow on Twitter, at ANDROMEDA_SNOW. Finally, thank you to Youngbird, who made this episode truly what it was. If you'd like to follow him, you can follow him on Twitter at YVNGBIRD, Instagram at YUNGBIRD_, and on Facebook at YUNGBIRD. With all that being said, I really do appreciate you guys sticking around to the end of this episode. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.